I've programmed myself this way, but adapt and overcome. Adapt and overcome. That's what we need to do in life, is adapt and overcome. And that's not in my notes. That's free tonight. So I just want to thank everybody for coming. I see a lot of familiar faces. But if you don't know me, my name's Bradley Trzyski. I was born and raised in Attica, New York. And I'm just a farm boy. And I'm up here speaking in front of you. And if you were here Sunday, Marty was very emotional. It could have been two Sundays ago. And he says he doesn't even know how he got here. He doesn't realize. He takes a step back and he says, how did I get here? And at some points, I feel the same way. How did I get here? How am I standing in front of a pulpit when years and years ago, I sat over in that area over there, broken little boy, and accepted Jesus into my life. And here I am today, standing in front of you. Have a beautiful wife. We're sitting on the front row. We got one child upstairs. April, we're going to have another little baby girl come in. So praise the Lord. Wayne, you did awesome. Thank you. Let's give the music and musicians a hand. Well, does anybody come to church to get brainwashed? We got one? I came to church to get my brain washed from the stresses of the week, from the burdens of life, from the lies that the world is telling us through the week. So when somebody asks you why you're coming to church, why do you go on Thursdays, why do you go to Bible studies, we go to get our brains washed from the stress of the week. We get the washing of the Word. We get worship in us. We just get renewed. Our spirits get renewed. We get a fresh fire inside of us. We get around people that are believing in us, that want to encourage us. We're not coming into a place that people don't want to see us do good. So who comes to church to get their brain washed? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that's why I come. You know, Marty and I, we have a little fun. And we just have a little fun. And I'm like, I'm the go guy. I'm like, go, 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 go. And I'm like, get up, go to work, go to church, get up, go to work, go to church. But you want to know what? I thank God for somebody in my life that says, Brad, get up, get going, get into church, get to work, pay those bills off that you have. And those little steps are the reason I'm standing up here today. So, you know, let's just give a hand to all the leadership. We got leaders that are away in Phoenix. They're not there on a little vacation. They're there to get inspired and to come back and give us a new fire. So let's give all our leaders a hand. So the title of my message is Not in This House. And I just want to do something for Chris Buzniak. Not in this house. Dropping the mic. It's okay to have fun in church, right? You want to know, if we don't have fun in here, we're going to have fun out there. We need to have fun in here. So we need to laugh and we need to have fun. So I'm going to try to be myself tonight. I'm just a little boy inside. So the title is Not in This House. And if I could put my serious voice on, it's very serious. Not in This House. And I just want to play a little video, a little quick little video. And if you want to fire that up, Jeff. Come on, baby. It's funny, isn't it? It's a great commercial. I mean, it gets me excited seeing all the football players in the locker room, not in this house. Because really, you know, when you're playing sports, it's like, not in this house. You ain't coming into my house, and you're not going to beat me. But Look at what mess, you know, the end of the little clip there. Look at the mess that little fly made. One, the club went through the window, it went through the car, and look at the mess that it made. If you were to come into our house, everything is very, very organized, unless Taylor gets her toys out, and then it's like just crazy. I mean, there's toys everywhere. Our house is toys. And I just want to pick on myself and my wife a little bit, is we are very organized people. We like things in the spot. If things aren't in the spot, we kind of get a little funny, you know. It's like we were together for 7 years before Taylor, so we had all this time to make sure everything's where we like it. You like it here. Here's your space. Here's my space. You don't mess with that space. I won't mess with your space. And everything is cool. Everything is good. And then the baby comes. But it teaches you to be flexible. And dirty dishes in our house is a sin. I'm going to pick on my wife a little bit. I mean, I have to beg her, sit down, honey. Just sit with us. Relax with us. And it's not because of the dishes. She just likes everything nice and picked up and clean. She likes it the way she likes it. And I have to convince her, honey, sit down with us. Sit down, relax with us. Don't worry about the dishes. I'm shutting the water off. I'm convincing her to sit down. And 90% of the time, she's washing the dishes. 10% of the time, she's going to sit down, relax with us. But I need to learn to love to appreciate that. There's only a few places in my house that I need organized. I've had to really get out of a mindset that everything has to be just so when you have a kid. The fridge is really important for me to be organized. Very, very important. I mean, I like the food here, the drinks here, this here. And if it's not like that, I get a little messed up. The other place I like nice and organized is my clothes. I want to wake up. I want to know where my clothes are, my socks, my underwear, my T-shirts, da-da-da-da. Everything's just got just so. The other place is my office and my paperwork. I don't like my paperwork unorganized. I don't like my office unorganized. I like everything just so. And the last place is the garage. I don't spend a lot of time in the garage, but I want to know where everything is. Outside of that, I can function. You know, I'm going to give you a perfect example. Today, I took the day off so I could come into church. I don't have the burdens of the world weighing me down coming into this place so I could be ready to deliver the Word of God. Well, Taylor wants to play. We're taking the cushions off of the couch. We're making obstacle courses. I have no idea where that came from, but we're running back and forth, jumping over pillows, and we're making a train on the couch, and I don't know what's going on, but I just want to spend time with that little girl. And Kelly's like, okay, we got to pick everything up. And I'm like, Kelly, it's just let it go. Well, I go upstairs for like 10 minutes, and you want to know, I come back down. Everything is back to the way that she likes it. But tonight, I don't want to talk about our physical house. I want to talk about our spiritual house, our spirit. In that little video clip, there was a fly in there. And if there's a fly in my house, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to take care of business. Taylor and I are going to get out the fly swatter, and we're going to creep up to that thing real nice and slow, and we're going to eye that thing up. Kapowie! And we get that little sucker. And then we clean up, and we clean up the guts, and we're excited. Yes, nasty everywhere. But I don't want to talk about, you know, the physical house that we're in. I want to talk about our minds, our spirit, our heart, this earthly body that we have. What are we letting into our eyes? What are we letting into our ears that is affecting our heart? What are the words that are coming out of our mouth? Are the flies of this world making a mess of our spirit? And I got a few topics I want to talk about. The first one is stop letting flies into your house. Close the windows and doors to your house. Don't let sin of the world in. Guard what you see with your eyes. Matthew 6. If you want to turn there, I apologize. Get your Bible out, your iPhones, your iPods. I'll give you a second to get there. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. And just so you know, our house is overtaken by toys. There's toys in the living room. There's toys in the bedroom. There's toys in my office. But it's just full of toys. Not in this house, baby. Come on. Stay with me now. I'm going to go a long way to come back to not in this house. Start thinking, not in this house. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. The Word of God in the New Living Translation says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole world will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" And guard what you're hearing, the music that you're listening to, the things that you're letting into your mind. Those are going to saturate your thoughts. Those are going to overtake your thoughts. They may not be there that day. They may not be there a week from now. But one day, those voices, maybe that negativity, maybe the thing that you listen to from some person or some TV show or some radio station, there's a lot of noise out there. Stop letting that noise into your mind. Guard what is coming into that house. And watch the words that are coming out of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21 in the New Living Translation says, "The tongue can bring death and life." The tongue, the small little thing that's in our mouth, brings life or death. I want my tongue, my mouth, to bring life. I'm not saying I'm going to be perfect. I'm not saying that it's all going to be roses and you're going to be dancing and everything's going to be perfect. But what I'm saying is be careful of the words that are coming out of your mouth, because they can bring life or death. If you want to turn to Matthew 18, 8 and 9. "So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to enter into eternal life with only one hand. So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to enter eternal life with only one hand or one foot than to be thrown into eternal life with both of your hands and feet. And if your eyes cause you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fire of hell." In the American Standard Version, it says, "What causes you to stumble?" So maybe it's not a big sin. You know, we see sin as levels. But if it just causes you to stumble, cut it off. What is Jesus saying in this verse? What is he saying? It sounds like he's talking about mutilation. It sounds like he's telling us to literally cut off your hand, cut off your foot, gouge out your eye. But I don't think that's what he's saying, because you want to know, if we're sinning with this eye, we're going to sin with this other eye. We will. Let's be honest. If we're looking at that with the left eye, we're going to look at that with the right eye. We are. If you're doing that with the left hand, you're going to do that with the right hand. If the left hand is taking you in a certain direction, you're going to let the right, I'm sorry, if you're going to take the left foot is taking you down a road, the right foot is going to take you in the same direction. What I believe that Jesus is saying to us change your heart, change your spirit, change your thoughts, change the direction of your life. Give your life to Christ. He doesn't want you to literally gouge out your eye, because if you did, you'd have to gouge out too. Let's be honest, men, we're visually stimulated. If you're sinning with the left eye, you're going to take a second look with the right eye. Let's be honest. If you're touching that with the left hand, you're going to do it with the right hand. Without Christ, you're going to do that. Change your heart. Change your heart, change your mind, change your spirit. That's what Christ is saying. Cancel those TV shows. Let's get a little dirty here. Cancel the swimsuit edition. Stop what's on the computer, your phone. Stop going to the places you shouldn't be going. Separate from the people that are corrupting you. Don't go down the road that will destroy you. This is a hard thing we have to do in life, but we have to do it if we want to protect this house and we want to say, not in this house. We need to guard the house. You know that nursery rhyme, it says, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. But what it really should say, be careful, big eyes, what you see. Be careful, big ears, what you hear. Be careful, big tongue, what you say. Be careful, big hands, what you do. Be careful, big feet, where you go. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. I'm going to share a little story. There was this man, I heard the story, there's this man, he was an alcoholic and he woke up every day and he took the same way to work every day and it would go past a tavern. Every day he would walk in there and go and have a couple drinks. Every day he would do it over and over and over again. And he had a son. And the son, you know, was wondering where he's going every day. Oh, I'm going to work, son. I'm going to work. I'm going to work. Well, eventually the son kept getting older and over. And one day it was snowing outside and the father left and the son, you know, missing him so bad, you know, he said, I want to follow my dad. Well, there's footprints in the snow. And you want to know where those footprints led to. It led the boy to the tavern. Be careful, big feet, where you go. Because somebody's following. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's somebody you're influencing. Can I get an amen? Come on. Don't make me have Pastor fax me one from Phoenix, okay? Come on, give me an amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. I know this stuff is tough. I know it's tough. You wanna know it's tough, but it's real. It's real. It's real. We need to stand up and guard our house. Close the doors in the windows to our life. And we need to stand up and say, not in this house, not here, not ever. Now I want to talk about those sneaky little flies that somehow find their way back into your house. You know, some way you knew you got them all out. You know they're out of here. But somehow the old things creep back in your life. I hope you guys can see my metaphor. I'm not talking about the flies, the physical flies. I'm talking about the things that creep back into our lives. I'm using flies because of my illustration with the video. But the old things creeping back in your life, we need to immediately destroy them. If you want to turn to Matthew 12, 43 through 45, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert, seeking rest but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. That's great. That's a good thing. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. What is trying to get back in your house? What once convicted you but now creeps back in and has numbed you from conviction? It might be bad thoughts, negativity, bad habits, lust, drugs, pornography, laziness, depression, gossip. The list goes on and on and on. What is it that is trying to creep back in those little crevices, in the little corners of your house, and creep back in? What we need to do is immediately recognize it. We need to see that it's happening. Realize that they're there to destroy us and take us down. They're trying to take back the place they once were. If we go to 1 Peter, you don't have to go there, but 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9 says, stay alert. That's an action. Stay alert. I mean, that's a command. Stay alert. Get up. Wake up. Stay alert. See what's creeping back in. Watch out for the enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. Listen, if a roaring lion came into my life or into my house, a real one, I would be scared. I would be frightened. We need to stay alert because he's looking he's looking for somebody to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering with you. When these sneaky little flies try to come back in your life, we need to go on a seek and destroy mission. Get rid of it. Throw it out. If you need help, get the right people involved. In military terms, we need to find a wing person. A man, a woman, a wing person in our life. We need to have that sniper in our life that sees this stuff from far away. We need to be around the right people. Make sure the house does not get invaded. Make sure your house doesn't get invaded. And we need to say, not in this house, not here, not ever. Everyone say that with me. Not in this house, not here, not ever. I would say jump up like they were in the football, but we don't have enough room for that. The next point I want to say is get rid of the flies that are currently in your house. The big, nasty, you know which ones I'm talking about. Those big, nasty green ones. They're like the size of a dime. You know the ones that hide in the little corner in your windows? You know which ones I'm talking about. They come out every once in a while and you're just like, bzing, you know, they sound like an airplane gonna hit you. You know which ones. I mean, the backs of them are real shiny and you're like, how do they get that big? They are like the things currently in our lives that's leading us away from God and undermining our lives. Water is a great resource. Without it, none of us would be here. It gives this planet life. Without it, we would not survive. It is also a very, very destructive force to many types of foundation, such as houses, buildings, bridges. Water with continuous contact with these foundations, it will slowly erode these foundations away and eventually destroy them. What are the little things in our life? What are the little things in my life? I'm preaching to myself. Brad, what are the little things in your life that could be eroding underneath your road, underneath your foundation that you've built and built and built? Are they there? Are they coming? Is there a stream that's coming underneath that's going to create a sinkhole in my life that one day I just say, bam, what happened? I need to recognize those. I need to see that stuff coming. The small destructive habits will just slowly, not quickly, small destructive habits will slowly destroy us unless we take care of them. We need to take care of them. We need to build a barge. We need to build a knee wall, a sand knee wall. We need to divert that stuff out of our life. We need to take care of that stuff. We need to kill those big, nasty green flies in our life. If you want to turn to Matthew 23, this whole verse, I read it the other day, and I read it in Bible study. The whole verse, Jesus is criticizing the religious leaders. We were in Bible study, and, you know, Lenny was reading it, and it was like, I mean, he's just smashing them. He's just like, dude, you're doing this, but you should be doing that. You're doing this, but you're doing that. You're doing this, but you should be doing that, because they're living by laws. They're not living a relationship with God or a relationship with Christ. Matthew 23, 25 and 26 says, "What sorrow awaits you, teacher of religious law? And you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup." Hold on a minute, let me do something. So careful. How you doing today? How you doing? So careful to clean the outside, to look good, to shower up, to shave, to look real nice. You know, like Wayne was saying, about just coming to be who you are. So careful. I've been there. I've been a Pharisee. I've been a religious person. I've been there. And it's not easy. It's a hard, hard Christian walk to live. I'm very methodical. I'm very structured. I'm very like things just so. So sometimes you get in that habit in your life. Come in here, you'll look good. When really,
on the inside, you're just getting eaten away. Things are eating at you. Not because you want them to. It's just you're learning. You're walking with God. You're trying to get through this stuff. And then one day, something happens. Things change. You can be who you want to be. The rest of it says, "But inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees." Now listen, first, this is the words of Jesus, not the words of Bradley Trzaski. "First, wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and the outside will become clean." What is Jesus telling us? What is he saying to us? He's saying, take care of the inside. Take care of your heart. Take care of your eyes. Take care of your ears. Take care of your mind. Take care of the inside of your life. And the outside will work itself out. Yeah, there might be some rough stuff. I still got some rough stuff. Just ask my wife. Ask her. She'll tell you the rough stuff. She will. I got it. Every day I got it. But I'm getting through it. Praise the Lord. Somebody give me an amen. Give me a hallelujah. Can we have a little fun? I got it. I get grumpy. I get hangry. I do. For real. I eat a lot of food. I get hangry a lot. That's why I like my fridge. Just so. I'm a food prepper. Any other food preppers? Oh, I'm a food prepper. Oh, it's terrible. But I like to do it, so I'm going to keep on doing it. Jesus is telling us in the verse, take care of our spirit, our heart, and all the external things will take care of themselves. Clean up, get rid of the things that are eroding and undermining the foundation that you have in Jesus. And maybe you're standing on the foundation. Maybe you've let those little streams, you know, get underneath your foundation. Get them out. Don't wait and think someone is going to come along and clean your house. They're not going to do it. They're not going to come along and clean your house. Don't be lazy and think everything is just going to go away. It's not. Stand up for yourself. Trust in God. Somebody say, not in this house. Not here. Not ever. So in Joshua 24, it's a strong strong scripture. Joshua's talking to all the people, all the tribes, and it's almost like he's trying to convince them how great God is. God did this. God did that for us. God conquered this with us. He did this with us. He did this with us. He did that with us. It's almost like he's trying to convince them how great God is. If you go to Joshua 24, 14 and 15, this is what's powerful. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away every idol your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Ephrates, river, Euphrates, praise God, and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the God your ancestors served beyond Euphrates? Or will it be the God of the Amorites in those lands who now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Say it with me. For me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to stand strong. I'm just going to give you a little example. My wife and I, we wanted to watch a movie the other day. I was like, okay, rated PG-13. Everything's going to be cool. Taylor's watching her little Mickey Mouse, all that stuff, you know. What's another one, honey? PJ Masks. PJ Masks. Anybody know PJ Masks? Oh, I'm the only one that's just totally okay. Somebody, please. They're superheroes, cartoon superheroes. But so we're like, cool, this is Tom Hanks, Inferno. Okay, let's watch the movie. We turn the movie on, and it starts off. I'm like, okay, this is getting real weird. And I'm like, now PG-13, okay, parental guidance, 13-year-olds could be able to watch this. And I'm like, this is getting weird. And not weird, I don't know. Anyway, weird. So Kelly wants to watch it. I'm like, all right. And I'm not saying anything bad about my wife, but she wants to watch a movie. She wants to sit down, relax with her husband. That's what she wants. So I'm like, this is weird. My daughter's laying right there. Yeah, she's watching Mickey Mouse, but they're smart. Their ears are always up. I'm like, you want to know what? Not in my house. I'm not doing this. I ain't watching this weird, goofy movie. I'm not having these images burnt into my brain. I'm not going to dream about this stupid movie. I'm not going to let this stuff into my house. I'm not going to do it. People at work pick on me all the time because I don't get involved in their nonsense. They're talking about sexual immorality and they think I'm a goofball because I won't get involved in them. They talk about other people. They talk about women in ways that you shouldn't do it. I yelled at one of my friends the other day because he shared something that he did with his wife. And I said, what are you doing? That's your wife. That's the woman that lays next to in bed with you. That's the woman that does your laundry. That's the woman that cooks for you. You don't share that stuff with these fools because that's the truth. They're fools. It's nonsense. That's not in there, but I don't get involved in that nonsense. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I don't slip up and I want to get into a little gossip because my ears are itching a little bit and maybe it's a little fun. I'm not saying that. But I avoid it at all cost. I avoid it at all cost because it's going to creep back up on you. It's going to creep back up. There's this young man that is trying to turn his life around and he's dating, I know this is like a bad word in church, he's dating a virgin. And I sent him a passage from Jensen Franklin. It talks about not turning on the oven. You can take it from there. Don't turn on the oven because you're going to make a cake. So don't do it. Just, dude, don't do it. And I tell him that Hey, I don't make people laugh very often, so thank you for laughing at me. But I'm like, dude, don't do it. That stuff that you did prior, it's going to creep back up. The thoughts are going to hit you some point. I'm going to be real. You could be hugging, loving your wife, and maybe something you did a long, long time ago could creep back in. And that's where we say, not in this house. Those thoughts are my old thoughts. That's not who I am. Praise the Lord. Or right now, if the thoughts are coming in and you're not there, just don't do them. Say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not in this house. Not here. Not ever. Praise the Lord. How we doing? We good? You still with me? Okay. Because if Pastor was here, I'd be fired. No, is anybody streaming this? Where is he? I'm having fun. I am. I'm enjoying being here. Praise the Lord. Let me get back to my notes. I got a little fired up there. I apologize. I got a little fired up. So as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Step on the devil's neck. Step on the neck. Cut off his oxygen supply. Squish him like a fly. Do it. Not in this house. Not here. Not ever. How do we clean up our house? This all sounds good. And Brad, you look good up there. And you got a job. And you got your wife. And you're serving the Lord for 13 years. And yada, yada, yada. You want to know it? I'm not saying it gets harder, but it also doesn't get easier because God refines you like gold. You know, they continue taking off the top, continue purifying, purifying, purifying. It's not like it just says, bam, there's gold. There's a process involved. And I'm a process, and I'm not going to stop in the process until I'm in heaven with Jesus. Can I get an amen? How do we clean our house? Stay connected to God. Life is crazy. Distractions are everywhere. They are everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, tweeting, Facebook. Help me. Somebody else. What else is out there? Snapchat. Bop, 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 bop. Distractions are everywhere. At work, they just gave us this little tile. It's like something you can hook to your keychain. You can hit the button if you lose your keys, or you can find your phone. I'm like, that's cool, but I'm like, oh my gosh, just another thing to distract me. Because I'm center aisle. Let's roll. Let's do this. How do we do this? Set time apart specifically devoted to you and God. It doesn't matter where it is. Your car, your bedroom, your basement, the shower. You could sing to the Lord. Wherever it is, just find a place you can focus and not be distracted. Get alone with Him so you can hear His voice. It doesn't need to take forever, but neither can be rushed. Come prepared, bring your Bible, bring a pen, a highlighter, a journal, some worship music. Just get alone with Him. 5 minutes. Could be 5 minutes. It could be 2 minutes. Jen Kopika has kids all over. She should be on a TV show. I mean, do you think she has time? But I imagine she has to find some time away alone with the Lord. Maybe it's while she's cooking. Her mind is fixated on Jesus. Specifically, I have to... Sorry. Squish the devil there. I have to set time aside. I have to get alone. I have to set about an hour aside, and I have to be with Him. Number two, come on, devil, I'm going to beat you down. Not in this house, not here, not ever. You need to read the Word of God. Just read something, anything that's the scriptural. It doesn't have to be 4 chapters a day, every day. Just get the Word of God in your heart. Pray about everything. You don't have to pray and cry out to God for 2 hours a day, every single day of the week, to hear His voice. Debbie, I'm going to close if you want to help me, please. My voice is getting real scratchy. I'm going to need a little background music. Thank you. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Give me 5 more minutes. You don't have to pray and cry out to God every 2 hours, every single day of the week to hear His voice. You don't. If it's big enough to worry about it, pray about it. If it's big enough to worry about it, pray about it. Could be braces for your kids. It could be schoolwork. It could be the money that you don't have in your finances. It could be a couple zits on your face you're worried about. It could be your boss. It could be school. It could be sports. If it's big enough to worry about it, just pray about it. Ask God to help you. God, I give it to you. Take it from me, Lord. Take care of this situation. 4th thing is get into church. Come get brainwashed. Come get your brain washed. We need to fellowship with other believers. And 5, connect with the right people. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. I need to be in church. I need to be around the right people. I need to. You put a plant in the darkness, it's not going to grow. You put plant in the light and you feed it water, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. I am that plant that got taken from darkness and put into an environment where I can grow. Put yourself in the environment you can grow. You know what environment that you're not supposed to be in. You know the dark environment that you're not supposed to be in. Change it. Change it because you will blossom. This church will help you blossom. There's people everywhere that will help you blossom. I just want a couple people, Chris, Chuck, some couple ladies come down. We're going to pray. I'm going to close. These people just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Not convict you, not condemn you. Little fly, big fly. Don't matter what the fly. Don't have a fly. You're doing great. You just want to go farther. Let us pray for you. If you're struggling, your house is invaded with flies, you don't know where to go, let somebody pray for you. I need prayer every day, and people are praying for me every day. So we need to stand up for our spiritual house, and we need to say, not in this house, not here, not ever. I just want to thank everybody for coming. Please come down for prayer. Anything you need prayer for, let's pray about it. And I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for what you put on my heart. I thank you for the people that are here tonight, God. God, I thank you where you took me from. I thank you for pulling me out of darkness and putting me in the light. Jesus, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for where you're taking me from. God, protect me from the things I'm letting into my life. Protect me from the things that maybe are there and are a blind spot in my life. And God, build each and every one of us up. Build us up to be closer to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you.